lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Now, this is just one passage, but Isaiah had already prophesied it 700 years before the New Testament. But all through the Old Testament, if you will go back and look, God the Father has always wanted to dwell with man. Go back to the book of Genesis. Look at Adam and look at Eve. Look at the garden experience, how they walked in the cool of the day, how that God had fellowship with them and how he wanted to bless them and surround them. He had no problem coming down to their level. He had no problem existing with them and loving them and blessing them. And if you look through the entire Old Testament and you see the tabernacle and you see the temple and you see all the magnificent symbolic prophetic pictures of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and how the Father wanted to make us the temple, us the tabernacle, us to be the habitation of God, where he would come and sit upon the throne of our heart, that he would minister through us. There's so many things. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm just trying to whet your appetite and make you hungry for this. But he called us priests and kings unto him. What does that mean? Well, the priests, they got to be in the presence of God. They got to see the movement of God. Well, guess what? I get to do the same thing. I get to be a royal priesthood today. Well, it applies to you being baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. In other words, sure, these promises are for you, and you say, well, I don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to go deeper later on to show you where I believe it's a command to be. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It just happens to do with an enhancement of the experience of God. This is my point. If you want all of God and more of God, you should say, God, give it to me. If it's in the Word, give it to me. Listen, that's how I was raised. I was raised, I didn't understand the things of the Spirit. But when I asked the Father to give me what was his, to give me what was right, and to give me my inheritance, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my life changed forever. And I do want to give you my testimony later about that and just to encourage you. But I just get real excited about this because the Holy Spirit, he's not a watered-down version of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. The three are one. It's a magnificent mystery. I don't understand the totality of it, and no man does, because no man has spent time with God in the totality of who he is. You may have had visions, you may have died, went to heaven, and all these different things, and we have glimpses from the Word of God, but until we truly, truly get into his presence, we only know half the story. We only know half of it, because it has not entered into the mind, the ear, the heart, all the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And he loves us, man, with an everlasting love. So let me continue on. And so behold, I send, this is going back now to Luke 24:49. I send the promise of the Father. So we know there's a promise unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Till you be endued with power from on high. And so here is the promise that is made. The apostles or the disciples, they got together in the upper room, and I'm going to go over that as we travel further down this teaching. And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and great and mighty things happened. But this was a promise that the Father had made. He made it to me and he made it to you. And so I want to talk to you about a few of the attributes of that promise and see how far we can go today. One of the things I want you to write down is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Whenever you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a fruitfulness that begins to happen in your life. I can't explain it other than saying, It's like being dry and barren and fruitless, and you sometimes feel useless in your life. Your walk with Jesus has just reached its limit. I mean, you've gone to church, you've studied the Bible, you've took Bible courses, you've done all these different things, but you know deep inside of you, there's something lacking. There is something that is just not happening for you. Well, you know what that is? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit calling you, wooing you, and saying, come on, I've got more for you. And then all of a sudden, after being dissatisfied and unfruitful and barren with your relationship with God, all of a sudden, here it comes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fruitfulness begins. Blessings begin to come. Barrenness begins to come. Let me just say this to you. Do I have times of dryness and walking with the Father? Sure. That's just an indication I need to fill up. That's just an indication I need to pull over, get away from everybody, get off social media, get away from church folk, and just focus on my relationship with God. That's normal Christianity. You better do maintenance. You better do maintenance with God, or you find yourself broken down on the side of the road of life. And God doesn't want that for you. So he pulls you over and says, look, hey, get in that chamber and seek my face. I'm going to fill you back up. But when it comes to the dryness and the barrenness I'm talking about, and some of y'all know barrenness, you know what I'm talking about. This is it. I mean, is this all Christianity has? Is this all it has? When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I have never questioned, is this all? Because being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I know there's more. I know that there's deeper things in God. There's higher things in God. I'm more on fire. I'm more alive and awake. I'm quickened inside my spirit. I'm digging. I'm diving. Man, I'm climbing. I'm reaching. I'm moving forward. Why? Because life is in me. Did you hear me? Life is in me, not just being born again. I already know I'm saved. I already know if I die, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the baptism activates all the life of God, and you become somebody you weren't before. Listen, being born again opens your eyes. It opens your heart. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, it opens your life. It opens up the pathway to the destiny of God. It opens up the portals of heaven, if you will. It gives you greater access to the things of God. It illuminates, it reveals. Man, I can do this all day long because I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my best friend. The Holy Spirit is my best business partner. My Holy Spirit, he guides me in my life. He helps me. And see, we've lost that in the body of Christ because we've looked at the outward experiences and we listened to some Dr. Dumbbell, some frozen theologian who said, that's not for today. Oh, that's just silly mumbo jumbo, whatever. Honey, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. He's tangible. I need the Holy Spirit. I must have him talking to me. I must have him lead me. I must have the fruit of the Spirit being juiced up, if you will, with the essence of God, the character of God, and allow those fruit to manifest in my life and then allow the gifts to come out of me so that I can lay hands on the sick. You can't lay hands on the sick and see him recover if you don't have the blessed Holy Spirit, if you don't have him moving through you and moving out of your life into the life of another like a transfer. Oh, can God heal? Yeah, sure, he can do anything. But the point is this, if you want a free-flowing life in God, if you want the unlimited life in God, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this because I get preaching, because I know I'm preaching against resistance right now. I know I'm preaching against resistance because of the, I'm just going to say it because I'm a pretty plain guy and you all that have been listening to me know by now, I'm tired of the idiots in the pulpit who refuse to dive into the Word of God because they've been taught what they've been taught in a cemetery, and they've been taught by so-and-so. They've read Bibles and commentaries, Bibles that have these commentaries and these scholars who think they know so much. And yet the Word of God is right in front of their face and they reject it. Let me give you a little statement I learned a long time ago. And I use this when anybody wants to challenge and anybody wants to act like an idiot when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or anything to do with the manifestation of the Spirit of God. You ready for this? Write this down. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Listen, I had an experience. I found truth. I saw and feel and know the manifestation. You have an argument. You have a philosophy. You have a doubt-filled understanding about the Holy Spirit, and you've been taught wrong. You teach wrong if you're a preacher and a pastor listening to me, and you reject those things because the man or the woman above you rejected them too. All you have is an argument. But I've got an experience, and not only me, but the multiplied billions throughout the generations of the Holy Spirit's outpouring have an experience, and they know that He is real. And if you think this is limited to Pentecostals or charismatics, no, it's happened to Christians throughout the centuries, and it's happened throughout denominational flavors, if you will. Any man or woman who is born again who says, "Fill me, Jesus. Fill me with the blessed Holy Spirit," He will fill them. And so I don't worry about what other people say, man. I know the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I'm learning Him all the time. And so let me give you the next point. Refreshing. Refreshing. What happens? What happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You get a refreshing. What does that mean? That means life, love, the power and the presence of God, the tangibility of God begins to flood your life. You go from being thirsty and dry until the waters begin to flow. The waters of life begin to flow out of you. Isaiah 44:3 says, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty." Man, are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty for God? Come on. Has church just made you dry? Has Christianity made you dry? Have you ate the junk food of Christian television for so long that now you just can't eat another bite? You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you thirsty? Is your life just barren? Look what he says. "I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." Isaiah 44:3. And as we go later on, I'm going to show you where he said that again to us in the New Testament. Just for you folks that don't like Old Testament. And again, I don't understand you. I don't know where you were raised and taught in the Word of God and preachers, you know, that have spoken over your life. Buddy, it's the whole counsel of God from cover to cover. Every word, every word. Every word is precious to me. And so he says, "I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give you that blessing, that refreshing." Well, did you know that Jesus said the same thing? He said it in his way. Remember that? Remember John chapter 4, verse 14? He said that if anybody drinks the natural water, what are you talking about? Talking about the woman at the well. If anybody drinks that natural water, they're going to do what? They're going to thirst again. But he said, if you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, that I'm freely going to give you, you're never going to thirst again. You are never going to thirst again. Look at this. John, let's read it. John chapter 4, verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into" what? "Everlasting life." He said it would be a well springing up into everlasting life. Do you know what that means? That is talking about your salvation. That is talking about when you're born again, you have a well of water inside of you. It's a well of the Holy Spirit. Water meaning the Spirit of God. And so when you receive Him as Savior, man, you just got water springing up. You have life and you have everlasting life, and you have promise of eternity, and that constant reminder is there, and all those beautiful attributes of this. This is what Jesus was telling the woman at the well. Man, you drink of me, you're never going to thirst again. You're never going to have that desire for anybody else to satisfy you. In other words, because I'm born again, I have a relationship with the Father. I don't need, and there is no other way to the Father. So I don't have to look to Hinduism. I don't have to look to Islam. I don't have to look to satanic cults. I don't have to look to anything else. My well, the well of God, the life of God is springing up to everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. So I found my source. I found my source of eternity. I found my source of salvation. I found my source of the joy of the Lord. But you know what? He goes further. And I want to teach this, and this is probably all I can get in today. But listen to what he says here. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says this. Are you ready? In the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So really it should be whosoever. Whosoever thirst, let him come unto me and to drink. If anybody's got a need, come to me. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, wait a minute. In John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, verse 14, that what was going to happen? There was going to be wells springing up into everlasting life. Now he comes over into John chapter 7, verse 37 and through 38 there, and he says what? He says that there is going to be rivers of living water. Now, I don't know about you. I like to drink. I love water. I'm a water baby, man. I mean, I drink water constantly. Water's so good for you. It's refreshing. It cleanses your body. It's got a lot of great properties to it that are good for you. But listen, if I had a choice between a well and the river, I'm taking the river. And what Jesus was doing is he was bringing us to a revelation that when you're born again, you do have that well. Somebody said, and this is the old argument, "Well, I'm born again and I've got the Spirit of God. He's inside of me." Well, sure he is. That's how you get born again. You get a circumcision of the heart. Your eyes are opened up. The Holy Spirit dwells with you. Of course, that's being born again. But there's something deeper than a well. It's a river. There's something deeper than springs coming up. It's a rushing mighty river. It's a constant flow. Listen, sometimes the well can get stagnated. It doesn't move unless you dip into it. You ever had a well? I have a well. I live on a well. If you pull the top off the well, you look down and the water is just sitting there. It doesn't do anything until the pump is activated. But when you have a river, it's moving. It's got life inside of it. It's refreshing. And I don't know about you, but living up here in Northeast Georgia, man, we have beautiful waterfalls and creeks, and we can go sit and just listen to it. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about a beautiful, relaxing sound? Well, pull off the top of a well and see if it sounds the same. It doesn't, does it? But if you sit down like by the ocean or by a river, you hear the sounds. It's moving, it's churning, it's teeming with life. All this stuff is taking place around you. There's activity. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus was saying. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And if you believe, as the scripture said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. A continuous source of power and passion. Listen, you know what makes people excited about the things of God? And, you know, people, they look at you and say, "Man, you're really hyper and you got, you know, all this activity." It's the Holy Ghost, man. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I wake up in the morning, man, and I'm ready for the world. I'm ready to do what God's called me to do. My body don't always want to do it. But in my spirit, I wake up and I say, "Yeah, let's do this. Let's just take the world for Jesus Christ. Let's do something great today." You know what? You can have the same. He's the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And he will refresh you. And he will bless you. And he will anoint you. And out of your belly will flow life. He will give you life that is abundant, that is awesome, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think. I'm going to tell you right now, you will never be the same when you receive the Holy Spirit into your life. You'll never be the same when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. You will see things more clearly. You'll experience the Father more accurately and more intimately. And the dryness of your life will become a flood. People will want to be around you again. Yeah, Christians will want to be around you again because of those dry areas of your life will now be flooded with the life of Jesus Christ and the life of His wonderful Holy Spirit. Man, I wish I could just lay all this out on this particular podcast, but I got so much more to give. So listen, stay tuned to these podcasts, and I'm going to try to put all this together for you to let you see that the Holy Spirit, He loves you. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity of God. God gave you the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to give us eternal life, and then He gave us the Holy Spirit to give us the power, the strength, the anointing, the unction, the gifts of the Spirit. And to me, the most important is the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to show that to you. I'm so excited, man. I just wanted to, it's like Christmas to me, and I want to just rip the package open and say, come on, let's just all open our presents. But I can't. I'm running out of time, and I need to share this in pieces as we go along. I love you so much, man. I appreciate everybody out there. Hey, if you're in the area, I always say 100 miles. I don't care where you are. Man, just come on down to Livonia, Georgia, and you get an opportunity. 580 East Main Street in Livonia, Georgia. Come on and visit us at Ignited Church. If you can't come, send a love gift if you can, or just a letter. Man, just encourage us. Our Father takes care of us. We don't have to beg, and we don't have to bother people. But if you feel led, I know God's going to bless you. P.O. Box 303, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. Or go to our website, ignitedchurchlife.com. Check out our ministry there. Check out our ministry as well on praiser.com. Would you click that button up there, a little heart, and bless Praiser and the True News team. Bless Pastor Rick Wiles. You can follow us on Twitter at Ignited Kingdom or Facebook, Ignited Church Livonia, Georgia. Or you can go to z3news.com and find some of our prophetic words there. I love you. I appreciate you. This is Pastor Benjamin Faircloth from Livonia, Georgia, Ignited Church. You are awesome, and I bless you. Listen, you're going to see something great when the Holy Spirit fills your life like never before. Love you. See you soon.